Vanderbox interview podcast run by the team here at Mad Artists. We are doing something new today. These are going to be our quick reviews where we just watch a movie and then immediately plug in mics with no research or preparation done at all. So this was our first one of those, which is the, I believe, 2015 movie Legend, which was our good friend Colton's pick. He and Mimi are on with us today. Say hello, you guys.
Hello.
What's up?
And our other mad artists that we have. Say hello, friends.
As always, it's Samuel.
It's John.
It's me, Tyler.
And one other guest we have today. Say hello without screaming, please, because it's a mic.
Hi. This is my ASMR movie review channel, guys. Here we go.
Out of 10 would listen.
And her name is Candace, even That's though she
me.
Didn't say
That's me. Hello, I'm Candace.
She's been on the pad.
Yes,
on
but
the
it's...
Pad
I did the pad before.
It was a long time ago. It was a long time ago the last time we had Candace on. Okay, guys. Well, let's talk about it. What did you guys think of this movie? This was Colton's pick. So, Colton, tell us about why you wanted us to watch this movie.
Dude, this movie is just so incredibly good. It portrays exactly what it sets out to portray, which is a very brutal set of twin gangsters in 1960s London. And I figured, because of how I know you guys watch movies and the types of movies I know you guys like, I knew some of you would like it. Some of you would probably have mixed feelings. I know Samuel liked it because he likes Glorious Bastards. And it's very much in that like brutal style. Very
so
great
I hated it.
Yeah, that's crazy. So me and Samuel are no longer friends.
So much for the trip y'all are going to take together.
It's going to be an awkward 5 days.
But no, that's, that's kind of why I wanted you guys to watch it, is to just see how you reacted to the movie itself.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Thanks, Rizzo.
Can I ask you something?
Yes.
What did you, before we go and give our opinions, what were your thoughts on who would like it more than others? Like, what was your thoughts about, like, what was your predictions for how we would receive it?
I predicted that, in general, there would be certain people amongst you that did like it. And the ones I thought that would just straight like it for what it was were Samuel. It was 50-50 on Danielle, because there are some scenes in there that are a little, we talked about some things that, like, you're like, eh. I figured you'd probably like it for the acting more than anything. Because I figured that, Tom Hardy's performance would speak to you.
Yes.
More than anything. I know you liked it. We watched it together. So, in general, I didn't know who else was coming, but those were my predictions, were that it would be Samuel would like it for the movie, you would like it for your acting, and Danielle would be 50-50.
Okay.
So we also have another guest on the podcast,
and
she won't stay still. This is Rizzo. Say hi, Rizzo.
I think they've heard her before at this point.
She said hi.
That was for saying hi.
Yeah, she will be the panting and jingling and probably squeaking that you hear, because she will start crying and screaming if she's not in the room with us, won't you? So, yes. That's what we have to
also,
that's what we're dealing with.
I did a little bit of research. Can I hit that up top?
Sure.
On the director. This is a fascinating man. He's a writer and a director, and his filmography is fascinating to me. He wrote L.A. Confidential. Thanks for that. He wrote and directed A Knight's Tale.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, his fingerprints are definitely on this one.
And he wrote and directed something we've done on the podcast before, 42. One of probably my favorite baseball movie.
After all the prediction, what did you guys think of the movie? Were my predictions close?
Well, let's just kind of go around. Tyler, how about we start with you?
I was going into this kind of thinking that this was going to be a little bit of a zone out movie. I am not a mob movie fan. Gangsters, all that stuff, you know, Goodfellas and The Godfather,
Sopranos.
The Sopranos, all of that stuff. It's not for me. Scarface, I don't like it. This movie was really, really good. And for a lot of the reasons that you said, right? I mean, this was a really gritty portrayal that didn't go too far. I think it struck a really good balance of showing the grittiness while at the same time not being kind of egregious with it. Like, honestly, like, my big word for this whole movie is balance. This was balanced really, really well. And it had a pacing very similar to one of my favorite movies, Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, very
is that a very, very similar pacing to it, about just guys being absolutely debaucherous, and, you know, how it was paced, like, with the girls and everything. I thought it was a very, very well done movie, and Tom Hardy's just stupid good.
Yeah.
This was the. There were honestly, I didn't think from a performance standpoint, I don't think there were any weak links in the movie at all. And it was very airtight. I think the script was very clean. It respected the audience's time, which I really, really appreciate. And I was thoroughly entertained. I thought it was a great movie.
I have to say, glad I was accurate. Cringe on the Goodfellas dislike.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not saying it's a bad movie. Again, this is the Mario thing all over again.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not, I'm not saying it's a bad movie. It's just, that just isn't my style.
No,
you know what I mean?
I get you.
Well, Mimi, I'm curious about your thoughts on this, because I assume you've seen it before.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have. I think mine, after seeing it multiple times, but even the first time I saw it, I thought, because of, like, my background and my stories, I thought it was a perfect, like, depiction of codependency.
Mm-hmm.
Of the wife upon Reggie, and seeing where that led her ultimately of... you know, she caused him to feel shame in the end, and that was Reggie's kind of undoing, as well as, like, loyalty to a fault, and the feeling of shame led him to make poor decisions. And so there's a lot of good mental health stuff, I think, in this movie, as well as entertainment of just how that plays a role in the whole thing. So I think I take it, like, in a pretty deep way of, like, the characters and how they move about the movie. So, anyways, yeah, I love it.
Okay. What about you, Candace?
Whoa. All right, John, you're next. No, oh man, I really, really enjoyed, like, just seeing, like, them sew those two together. And it's just him in the limo, like, talking to himself, like, the performance of just him in the car and, like, him at the restaurant, him on the floor. Like, it's just, it's two people, but it is one guy, and it's, like, the coolest thing to see, like, the stunt face, but, like, it's actually Tom Hardy, and then, like, the switching, it's not like, oh, that's clearly the guy, like, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could be like, oh, this is convincingly two separate people.
Yeah.
For the longest time, I thought Lindsay Lohan actually had a twin. And I saw the Parent Trap, and this, I would have been convinced, oh, Tom Hardy has a twin brother.
You know, in preparation for this role, Tom Hardy actually
cloned himself.
No, he actually learned how to vibrate left and right really quick.
Yeah, like the Flash.
He put on the cloak of displacement.
He did. I thought that was really cool. He was going the extra mile.
And they were twins, but they were different enough to where it was like, oh, this isn't just like, he puts a different hat on. It's like, hey, I'm Ronnie, and hey, I'm Reginald. Like, it's like, okay, he's like, just Ron's built different, and just, like, the look in his eye, and then, like, the other brother's, like, kind of, like, more swagger, and he has, like, the more, like, you know, hey, you know, the right brain, you know,
yeah.
Like, Ron is just, like, freaks out, and he's, like, in the loony bin, and it's like he just hulks out, and
yeah.
It's, like, the best thing ever, but I just really like the performance of just him by himself. I could watch, if it was just the two of them, the whole movie, I would just watch him twice.
I'll be honest, I was kind of dumb for a minute when, because, I heard him say they were twins. But watching them in the car, it didn't register that it was Tom Hardy twice.
Yeah.
And so then when it first showed Ron in the mental hospital, I was like, isn't that just the same guy? And like,
yeah.
and I was really confused for a second, like, wait. And then it hit me. I was like, oh yeah, they said
yeah.
they were twins. That's really stupid.
Why is Tom Hardy in the mental
hospital?
Yeah, why is Tom Hardy in the mental hospital?
The funniest thing I saw is when I was looking up the movie find some gas stuff and all, I saw the poster, and the poster
mm-hmm.
has Tom Hardy on it twice.
No!
That's very
Tom Hardy,
funny.
Please, Tom Hardy.
Which is such
Tom
a campy
Hardy,
thing for
yeah.
such a serious movie.
Yeah, yeah,
no.
Well, I mean, that's the thing that, like, Candace was saying. Like, there's no point after you kind of get acquainted with the characters that one of the twins is on screen that you don't know.
You don't,
twin
they don't blend
yeah.
together. You're like, I know who
yeah.
that is.
You can look
I know
at
what's
it and you
on.
Definitively know that's Ron, that's Reg.
That's Reg,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm. And part of it was makeup and part of it was just
the
mannerisms
lip.
And the vocal change.
The
like,
and his
man.
Teeth,
yeah.
bro. I'm like,
lip.
Or just.
He talked
a bunch
with
of
his lower
bubble
lip.
Gum. It's all under the chin. That's all
Sean
he talked.
Connery.
It was all it was.
That, and I feel like you would appreciate the complete stature change between the two of them.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
The
I mean, they move completely differently.
He, like, lumbers.
Well, and also, if I'm not crazy, they definitely put shoulder pads on Ron to make him, like, bigger
yeah.
up top.
That makes sense.
Oh,
yeah.
Fun fact, Tom Hardy's not very tall. So
but
in a lot of these
shoes.
Scenes, he was wearing platform shoes.
Yeah,
really?
To make
that
him
tracks.
Look bigger. He,
isn't
he's
like
not
5'7"?
He's like 5'7", 5'8", something
that's,
like that.
He's as tall as me.
You're as tall as Bane.
I'm as tall as Bane. Put
well,
that on my resume.
Okay. Let's get our last couple of
guys'
opinions.
What you got, baby?
Samuel.
Was good. No. No, I really enjoyed it. Here's the thing. It is kind of, from where I'm sitting, I'm sure other people have different thoughts, but from where I'm sitting, it's kind of like Mimi said, in that it showcases something very well, but it doesn't have any secrets about what it is. It's not a movie that, for me, I come out of it going, oh, there's a million things I want to talk about, because it was just kind of good, and it was very straightforward about what it was, yeah. And it was a hard story to watch, but it was, you know, a really important story and a good story about, you know, what we see 1,000 times, right? You know, even just from the very beginning when he's all like, you know what, I'll go straight for you, and then she's all like, yeah, that didn't last. And it's like, that happens. I've seen that happen to people in my life over and over and over and over. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, obviously it's told on this kind of grandiose scale, and because it's kind of going the British mobster route, I almost expected it to be directed by Guy Ritchie. It felt like a Guy Ritchie film.
Parts of it, absolutely.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, because it's told through that lens, obviously, it has a certain grit and a certain humor to it that's fun, and a fantastic cast, an ensemble cast. I mean, even all the little small roles, like, I knew everybody. You know, Albie, making it feel more like a Guy Ritchie film. Albie plays a big character in Sherlock Holmes with RDJ. So, like, you know, it's all,
wait, who did he
play? He's Moran in the second Sherlock
second
Holmes.
I'm sorry, which one was Moran?
The sniper, Moriarty's right hand man, dude.
Oh
yep.
No.
So, like, just every little actor, you know, Taron Egerton plays like a very small part, and at this point he was already like a mega star.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Freaking so, Doctor Who, my guy, Christopher Eccleston.
Yeah,
Eccleston.
And the guy that plays in The Kingsman.
That's Taron Egerton.
Oh, that was the,
okay. Yep.
What's his name, like, Bigsy or something like that?
He did.
Eggsy.
Teddy. Eggsy, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, in this movie.
But yeah, Teddy.
Yeah.
And he was so creepy and just like, you know. The yes man, Ron's yes man, but you know, that's just kind of my thoughts. I don't have really any big insights on it beyond just a good film.
good film. What about you, John?
I think this was not only a spectacular watch, but it was a spectacle in a very raw sense. It told the story it needed to tell. It was flashy, but it did flash in a way that accented the parts that needed to be accented, if that makes any sense. But no, I mean, overall, I enjoyed it. I mean, it was a great film. I was engaged the whole time. The pacing didn't lack. There wasn't any unnecessary fluff. It was very straight to the point.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys a question, because I'm actually really interested in this, because the movie posed a bit of a philosophical question.
Okay.
Oh, boy. As you guys know, I am big, big on, like, loyalty, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm in, I'm in. And I also adore my brother to the ends of the earth. But I'm watching this movie. We all know the answer is Ron is the problem,
mm-hmm.
right? Ron is definitively the problem.
Mm-hmm.
If,
no. I would strongly argue against that.
Ooh, Reg.
Really?
Reggie's the problem. Ron's not the problem. Ron is a known quantity.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're not too far off, because my thought process is we know that Ron is a problem. It's Reggie's inability to do anything about Ron.
Well, but Ron is also a problem that was handled until Reggie.
Yeah.
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 Everything that Ron does is not, you know, from a certain point of view, because he's clinically insane, it's not even Ron's fault.
Yeah.
He's clinically insane.
It's the
and
fact
he is
that,
let loose on the world
yeah,
by Reggie.
Yeah.
That the people in his life know that he's clinically insane and are like, no, he should be with us, even though the guy at the beginning was like, you know, he should not be let out, but if he's going to be let out, he needs to be on these drugs, and then, you know...
He's not taking the drugs.
No, and Reggie's like, you have to take the drugs, man. Like, you know, you're not doing your part, and of course he's not, because he's not sane. He's not well.
So my question is, acknowledging that, obviously, you know, the right answer is to not let him out. But let's say you're towards the end of the movie, right? And your significant other just passed away in horrible circumstances. You know that things are about to come down. what do you do when you're in that deep? Do you do what Reggie did and not rat out the not rat out Ron, or do you turn him in?
Well, here's the thing. So my entire point of view on the movie as a whole is that their loyalty is built on false premise. It's an entirely falsely created loyalty that has no real backing in any reality whatsoever. It is strictly because they are brothers. There's no experience to build this loyalty.
Yeah.
So it's an entirely
it's
false loyalty.
It's just that they're the craze.
Yeah, they're the craze. That's what they are. So if you ask me what I would do, bro, I'm turning my brother in. Like,
ooh,
I'm turning my brother in. I love my brother to death. I have his back for everything. Turn his ass in. Turn his butt in. Turn him in. Sorry.
No,
that one's fine.
Here's the thing. This is, you know, obviously nothing to this extreme, but this is a somewhat, without digging into things, personal thing for me.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
And I have preached to everybody for years, and I will tell everybody this again. Just because you are born of the same family as someone does not mean you owe them anything.
Trust me, in my way, I get it.
Facts.
Yeah.
Well, it's almost like all of us here have
some secret past. Yes.
Also, I mean, really, if you think about it, it's Reggie's codependent upon Ron.
Yeah.
In a way. And so really this whole thing is about codependency, y'all.
Yeah.
Break those chains, y'all. Be done.
We need to see Renfield, but
yes, that's true. So that leads me to a very interesting question. There's one scene in the movie that is particularly gritty and particularly rough to watch, especially if you are adverse to violence. And it's so hard to watch because it's very realistic. What were initial thoughts on the stabbing scene at the end? That's a brutal scene to watch.
Oh my God.
It's hard because it's very realistic. When somebody who is in a passionate state starts hitting somebody with a bladed weapon...
It just keeps going and
it made
really
me queasy the first time I watched it because I was like, oh, that's tough.
I felt really twisted laughing the whole time. Is that cool? I'm sorry.
Here's the thing. Being completely honest, and I don't know whether this is good or not, I'm pretty numb to violence at this point. In entertainment.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Like, so it didn't really, beyond being like, ooh, that's brutal.
Yeah.
So here's what I thought. There's a podcast out there called, I think it's called The Connection or The Connect. And it's about a reformed, quote unquote, reformed drug kingpin who shares all the gritty stories about his trials and tribulations in the drug scene, right? Pushing cocaine. And one of the things he had talked about is the concept of getting shanked, because what he attacked that guy with, what he stabbed him with, was so short. It was around the size of a shank.
Yeah.
And so, and the reason why that's of note is because if you take a long knife and you, like a kitchen knife, and you stab someone with it, they're probably going to die pretty soon, right? You get them a couple times, that's it for them, right? Mm-hmm. If that blade's going all the way in. But given how shallow it is, it's a lot of flesh wound stuff, and it's literally death by a thousand cuts. There are people who are in jail who have been shanked. I swear to God, like, we could check the records, over like 300 times in the same sitting, right? Of just being shanked and survived.
Mm-hmm.
It's the craziest thing.
Yeah.
And so watching, you know, for me, I'm thinking that's ridiculous. Like, obviously they're saying it's true, so it has to be true. But what would that look like? And being able to see that because of how shallow the cuts were and how he just wouldn't stop. And the guy is still moving. The guy is still twitching and responding to it because he's in, obviously, an obscene amount of pain.
Yeah.
Was just insane. And I think it was given the... And hear me out. I think it was given the respect that it kind of deserved. The respect of, like, the reality of the situation. It wasn't played for really laughs. It wasn't played for, like, anything great. You're a special case.
I thought that was so funny.
That's good. But it wasn't
that's
played.
That's good, he says.
It wasn't played for laughs. It wasn't played for any of that stuff. It was showing you without any music or any craziness or any gravitas, this is what genuine rage looks like.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really interesting, and I thought that was really well captured.
I didn't think that scene was that bad.
I mean, that's kind of the thing, is like, I was expecting you to think it was horrible the first time we watched it.
No, but. I'm fine with that. I have a problem with the bedroom scene. That one, I...
That is significantly worse than the stabbing scene. Stabbing scene, I was like, cool, we're here now. Yeah. Like,
I didn't expect you to have a problem with the stabbing
scene. For me, unless violence is like really bad head trauma, not the kind of like what happened in here where he shoots him and you just see the hole. Yeah. That doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
But like
there's a movie where we see a guy's head get dented in, I think, and it's like,
or like, I mean, anyone who's watched like Game of Thrones all the way through, you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Like
Pascal, that, my
boy. Like
oh
that
my
kind
God.
Of
I've seen that scene.
It's like awful. That kind of head trauma, I can't deal with. But basically any other kind of just like that kind of violence, I'm like, ah, it's fine. And when I make you guys watch The Hunt, you'll understand what I mean.
Have you seen the movie Gravity?
That's so. I'm putting it in the hat. But
have you seen Gravity?
No.
It's there's a specific scene about head trauma that's. Oh.
Yeah, I know you're not.
No, I like this. The stabby stuff. I was like, whatever. It's head trauma that messes with me. But I fully agree with Mimi. That scene was far worse than any other scene in the movie.
Can we touch on that for a second? Because I will say, obviously, any movie that depicts sexual assault is real tough to watch.
I was about to clear up. There's a lot of back and forth on this. Don't quote me on this, but I want to say when I was looking into the movie the first time we watched it, that scene is not meant to be a sexual assault. He's just beating her.
Oh.
For reference.
Really?
Oh. Don't quote me on that. I don't believe it was intended to depict a sexual assault. It was intended to be I'm going to beat you.
A domestic abuse.
Because there's a pictures from like an old scene or something that was supposed to be in the movie where she's a lot more battered up than she was.
Well, because that was the thing that I was kind of confused by because...
Yeah, don't quote me on that. Don't know if that's fact on how it came out.
The energy that he had going in there did not seem...
Yeah.
Sexually predatory. Mm-hmm. It just seemed violent.
It seemed angry.
It just seemed
violent.
Which is why.
But because they zoomed away from it, I assumed it
it's
was.
It's like to leave it up to your imagination.
I assumed it was
like
the fade to black.
But
we're not going to make you actually watch this.
But the next
kind
scene with
thing.
The black eye, I think that makes sense.
I don't agree with it. No.
I'm not going off of my interpretation of the movie. I'm going off of things that
okay.
I've seen.
I'll put it this way. Whatever their intent was, there's a reason that we all interpreted it the way we did.
Because, I mean, she's like, she's half dressed.
Mm-hmm.
He's throwing her towards the bed,
and
then it zooms
don't
away.
Hear hits when it zooms out.
Yeah, you don't
like,
hear
the sound in
like
the room.
Fists.
You hear her begging no, but you don't hear any.
Which, 100%. That's the way I interpreted it when I first watched it. So.
Right.
But
that being...
So if that's not how they intended it, then they didn't do a good job of showing that wasn't
what they
meant.
Disclaimer. Could entirely be misinformation because the internet does not tell the truth all the time.
But the reason why... Okay. Apart from that, the reason why I think it was sexual assault is because, she made him feel shame and powerless. And so he wanted to make her feel shame. And she had been... called a slut and other things like that. And I think by taking that sexual power over her as well as physically dominating her was his way of gaining both of those things back. And that's why I think it was
that's
part of the scene.
Yeah, that's totally reasonable.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a tough scene.
I don't know. It was what I... Like, as soon as it happened, I was like, yep, okay, so that's what happened, and that's why she's leaving the next day.
Yes,
is
duh.
Because immediately that's it.
Yeah. Well, so, with the understanding, or with the assumption, I should say, for the purposes of this, that it is a sexual assault scene. Well, I have my own merits of being able to speak on this, but I think if you are going to show that in a movie... I do think they handled it in a very tasteful way.
No, and, well, yes, because, they took you away from it. I always am like, I understand its importance and everything, but the less you can show me or let me have to hear of any of that is always going to be better.
Yeah.
Like, even just, 5 seconds less, I still would have gotten the picture.
Yeah.
And so, for me, I'm always like, I could have gone with even less and, there just be, a real quick, we see 1 second of him, grab her and then, her the next day. And I would have understood what happens.
But is that a preference thing or a merit thing?
That is definitely, I can't speak to it. I don't know. I just know what I don't like to see in things.
Yeah. So that's kind of the thing is it is walking a very fine line because I don't know a lot about the Coen brothers other than this movie. It rides a line of, do you omit it? No, because it's their life story. How much do you show? So it is kind of a hard thing to go on. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think if you are, like, it's definitive, we're doing this, as far as those scenes go, I feel like they handled it in a tasteful way.
Because I've seen worse.
Lesser, yeah, exactly.
Let's go back to Game of Thrones. I've seen worse depicted in media. That's so I don't...
Real rough.
So this was definitely preferred to some of the stuff I've had to see before.
Now, here's the operative question. Were there any particular moments in the movie that stood out as just masterful, to kind of go to the other end?
Of course.
If you had to pick one movie or one moment in the movie, what was masterful moment?
I mean, how do you not talk about the bar fight scene?
Really good.
How do you not talk about the bar fight scene? How do you not talk about the first time they're meeting the Italian gangsters, mm-hmm. and he's talking about being gay.
Yeah. Oh my god, that was probably my favorite part.
And of course, the standout of at the trailer, the camper that Ron is living in, and he sits down and he goes, "I'm homosexual." And
it's like, yeah, no, that's pretty great too. I like that.
It's a really good scene.
Man.
But if you had to pick one, what would you pick?
I would pick the scene where the wife is trying desperately to protect her car, and she's saying, "Help me," and he's just going on and on.
Ooh,
and says, you look like crap, you know, and that's, I feel like, everything. Their whole relationship has been kind of like building up to that moment of they finally kind of break that pretense,
mm-hmm.
of we love each other and we're being kind, we're being cordial, and then all of a sudden just that simple, it's raining and she's trying to, you know, save her convertible, which is like this gift, you know. And so I think that scene was really well done, because I feel like that does happen in a lot of relationships in real life, of like there's this little thing that cracks it and then all the pretense falls away.
Yeah.
So I thought that was very well done.
There's so much symbolism in that moment too, because it's the last thing that he gave her out of good, kind-hearted love.
Yeah.
Yes. So, and he's helping facilitate ruining it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What is your... Well, mine is... if we're going this way...
Yeah.
Mine is... I don't want to be basic. It has to be the bar fight scene.
It's so good.
It's so... Not only that, the scripting is incredible. Starting the fight... Like, because there's so many moments where you expect him to start the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And then he keeps lingering on the conversation. Even talking about, like, how I'm not going to fight fair. You don't mind if I fight back, do you? Mm-hmm. Right? And then everything going. It's like, when is he going to throw the first punch? And it's like... I'll tell you a joke. Psychopath walks into a bar, and he's standing right behind them. Come on, man. That's so awesome.
Oh, yeah. And the whole pretense of insulting the weapon, the metal rod.
Oh, my God.
He's a big cake. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
It's so funny.
I would I like the like... Like, I'm a homosexual. Like, that whole thing, that was pretty funny. Like, and him talking... Oh, that was with them, with the Italian guy.
Mm-hmm.
That little, like, with the money and, like, the bail bonds. And it's like... And I almost was like, oh, this is the first American accent I've heard in this whole movie. I almost was like, oh, that's what we sound like? God! So I really love, like, that, like, guy rolling in, and he's like, I got plenty of these, like, bail bonds.
I will say, this was definitely along the lines of, like, Green Street Hooligans, with how, thank God,
like,
we had subtitles.
Yeah.
Because, like, 2 minutes into the movie, I was like, if we didn't have subtitles, I would not know what they were saying at any given moment. Specifically Ron, I would not know what he was
saying. Jesus.
But, yeah, this was a very small moment, and it was both what was said and then how it was responded to. It was like a 5-second beat, but it was right when Reggie's out of prison and he and Francis are at the club, and he's furious and he's gone up to Ron, and Ron walks up to Francis after being told, I don't know if it was before he was told to apologize or after, but he says what I feel like most people were thinking as they're watching the movie, which is, Frances is great, but she doesn't really have a whole lot defining her, and he calls that out.
Yeah.
He's like, you're empty of everything except for, and then, you know, like, you know, super super crass. But, and you see it register on her face that, that he is kind of right, and she's like, oh my God, like, you know, is this true? And I think that's what starts everything, like, for like her developing, you know, her, you know, reliance on pills and her, like, having no reason to keep going after her and Reggie are officially done, is because I think she, like, not even that it was correct, but just that she was, that beat of someone telling her that never left her mind. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it has to be that.
I think my favorite scene in the film is the scene where he takes Francis out on their first date, because in that one scene, you can see exactly how this is going to go.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It does such a good job at showing, you know, him being sweet and charming and all, but then everything that he's having to deal with that is now and will always be more important than her.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
It's such a stark contrast, too.
It's great foreshadowing.
My personal favorite is the brothers brawl in the casino, because it's just, it's raw and it really defines their relationship to a T. Especially when we get to the hugging it out scene, where it's like, I mean, Ron even says it himself, like, I'm fragile. I'm very fragile, and it's like, it's kind of Ron saying, like, why am I out here? I shouldn't be by myself. Help.
Well, not only that too. I mean, that scene's, I mean, that's a big contender for the best one, because, man, not only were they, while they were fighting, you can tell that Reggie, who is significantly better at fighting, is clearly holding back, because he's not trying to really hurt him. And you can see as soon as Ron escalates it, he escalates it right back. But never to a crazy degree. And every time Ron tries to take it to a place that Reggie knows is going to set him off, he's like, don't you pick up that bottle, right?
That's like, a really good moment when he goes, not the bottle, and he puts the bottle back down.
And he puts the bottle back down, because he's like, you know what, you're right, this isn't where this needs to go. Yeah. But the fight starts with Ron talking about how he's just like, yeah, and you left me. Mm-hmm. Because he's like, how could you do this? He's like, well, how could you leave me? Because Ron needs Reggie to be good, and it
is
just
Ron codependent upon Reggie.
I'm done.
Broke my heart.
It has,
man,
a little bit of the kind of like Lenny from Of Mice and Men vibe.
Yes.
Where, oh my god.
He requires Reggie not just to be like, you know, his best friend and his confidant and all of that stuff, but also to be his caretaker. Mm-hmm. But by Reggie allowing him to just go through the world and, you know, and trusting him to just be okay, he's then causing other people to get hurt and to die and, you know, all of those things.
Because performances.
Because Ron isn't a gangster. He is an insane person who is living out the delusion of being a gangster.
Yeah.
And that's the most tragic thing about this movie, is that we all know that, and so does everybody in the gang. And Reggie does too. That's the worst part, is that Reggie knows that this is wrong.
Well, and the saddest part is that I think it's because Reggie wants to live out this dream of the two brothers just, you know, just killing it on the gangster scene. And so he's refusing to actually acknowledge just how dangerous and, like, you know, and needing of serious medical help Ronnie is. And so the whole time he's just constantly, even when he's angry, even when Ron goes off the deep end, you know, trying to kill Professor Lupin towards the end. I don't remember.
Detective?
Leslie. There were too many names. I didn't remember them all. I just remember their faces. But even then, you know, when you think Reggie's finally going to be like, okay, that's it, he still just sits there and just starts directing people on how to make sure that he doesn't go to prison. He's just like, all right, this, go do all these things, I'll do this, then everything's going to be okay again.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, he's just in denial.
Sorry, I just found a fascinating note. For years, the Kreese mob family provided Frank Sinatra protection and bodyguards.
That's awesome. What?
Yeah, because Frank Sinatra was in deep with the mob.
In that's cool. Real deep with the mob.
I love Frank.
Let's go.
Don't even care.
He was like
wow.
The huge face of the Italian mafia for a while.
Yes, he was. Yeah. We still love him.
Now, I know the Kreese specifically has ties to him as well.
They had an American security firm called Crayley Enterprises.
Get out
of here. Nobody knew was owned by them for some reason until they were already in prison, and they found a business card in that said Crayley Enterprises and Reggie stuff when they were like putting him in prison. And
also, like, random question. I think this, or not maybe a question, but maybe a proposal, is I feel like this movie also did a really good job of like kind of proposing the question of how far are you willing to go for the ones that you pledge loyalty to or that you love? Mm-hmm. Because everyone pushed their boundaries or their boundaries were constantly in question. Like, you know, prison, killing people, you know, whatever. And I think it proposes that good
just
question
a static
of like
misery in the case of Francis.
Yeah. Of like how far will you let it go into the point of even, you know, your life or your happiness, you know, kind of question.
It's very good. Very good message of the movie. Super good. Mm-hmm. Honestly, best scene is a tie because there's two very good scenes that are, I think, slept on very hard in the movie because one of them presents as a joke. And it's the first time we hear Ron talk about building the city in Enugu, in Nigeria. Because it's presented in such a funny way. But it is the first time you see Ron make a decision without Reggie, and you can tell how every decision throughout the movie is going to go based on how he acts in that moment.
Yeah.
You can see how everything's going to fall apart for him because of how he acts in that moment.
Well, yeah, because it's showcasing just the depths of his insanity. Mm-hmm. The very first decision that he makes is so insane. It's like, that's not it.
And you watch him become obsessive with it. It's a theme throughout the whole movie, which is very in line with paranoid schizophrenia. And then towards the end, right after Reggie stabs the dude to death, the line to Ron of, "Why'd you do that?" And then he goes, "Because I can't kill you as much as I want to."
Yeah.
That's a huge line, and it's like, oh, chills every time. Mm-hmm. So good. Yeah, it's a very good movie.
Well, and the moment where, like, right after he said that line, because it was tiny moments that, like, stuck out to me, and it was this one where right after he says that to him, because he's in, like, such a blind rage, he doesn't even pull his face away from him. He almost, like, goes through him, like, forcing Ron to kind of, like, have to, like, jolt a little bit to the side. And I don't know why, but that just, like, those tiny moments of, like, that and then, like, Francis's reaction to that are the things that, like, stuck out to me throughout everything.
And for those of you who are pop culture inundated, one of the most popular gifts in the past few years of Ron dancing at the party with the glass and then looking over at Reggie and going, what? This movie is where that gift comes from.
Really?
It's a very good gift.
Okay.
Continuity.
Continuity. Yeah, I knew that was going to go on forever if I didn't stop it. So, on to the last little bit of our episode here. What do you guys think this was rated out of 100 critically on Rotten Tomatoes? What do y'all think?
I'm going to guess
87%.
Okay.
89.
I was going to say 89.5.
Okay. You said 87?
Yeah.
You said 89. John?
I'm going to give it a solid 92.
Okay. What do y'all think?
I feel like the grittiness of it was received poorly, so I'm going to say 67. 67%.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like it was probably received poorly.
Okay.
79.
It was absolutely Colton, and it's even lower. It's 61.
No. What?
Yep.
Dude, critics don't know what they are talking about.
It's very
wrong. I'm convinced.
It's very wrong. I should have known better.
And what about the audience score? Also out of 100.
On the double down, 89.
See, I was going to think the audience score would be closer to that, because I thought there would be plenty of people who were like, you know, oh, how dare this movie be like this. So I'm going to say 72%.
Okay.
I'm going to say it was too long to have a high rating, because people's interest is waning consistently. Mm. I'm going to say another solid, like, 65%.
Okay.
Dang it. 75.
Okay.
69.
Okay.
70.
All right. I still think it was Colton. Tell me if I'm wrong, but it was even lower. It was 59.
Wow. Really didn't like this
movie. What?
Yeah.
That's I don't get that.
And IMDb out of 10.
Friggin'.
That's a tough one.
7.
So it's 7.0?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
IMDb. 7.7.
Okay.
I'm going to go even lower to keep in trend. I'm going to say it's a 4.1.
Okay.
Wow.
I'm going to say 5.5.
Okay.
6.
Just an even 6?
5.
It's Tyler this time. It was 6.9.
Oh, dang.
Nice.
It always comes to... Do the horse method.
You'll have to do it next time. You've already guessed.
I know.
But out of 10 lemon sherbets, what would you guys rate Legend?
I'm going to give it a solid 9. I love this movie. It's fantastic.
Okay. So whoever wants to go next.
I'm going to bring it in at an 8.5. Out of 10? Yeah. I was like, did I get that wrong? This was a really solid movie, a really clean script. It had all the hallmarks of a good movie. The only thing really that kind of drags it down is, it is in a genre that I'm not the most interested in, so while it did grip me, it didn't grab me and shake me back and forth. You know what I mean?
It's no moose movie.
It's no moose.
It's
right.
Not the moose movie.
You're right. It's no, not.
Nothing can be the moose
You know,
moose the, movie.
Like, Grand Budapest Hotel just had me and smacked me in the mouth a couple of times, and I said, thank you, may I have another? But this movie was still really, really good. You know what I mean? So that's how I justify that.
All right, Candace?
I will say a 7.5.
Okay.
I really liked the gangster part. That I just loved the visual of, like, it wasn't cringe, like, oh, clearly it's, like, this is, like, a weird, like, shot, it's green screened, and you have to, like, think about it, and all the math flies by in your brain. Like, it just looked like two guys in a car, and it was cool, and it was clean, and I just like to look for that continuity where it's, like, the cut of his jib, you know, it's not him, you know, blah, 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 you know, like, damn. This side of the actor looks like, shut up, Tyler, it looks nasty, and you don't like it, so it's, like, I really like the way that, like, you could see that it was, like, okay, this is just, like, two twins, so I like the story, it was bussing, and I think it needed more guns.
More guns.
There are only two guns in the movie.
There were very many guns.
And only one that gets fired.
Because we're in London and things work differently over there.
Yes.
Yeah, I also just like, you know, I get bored if it's just like, you know, a billion guns in a movie. So I appreciated that they were used quite sparingly.
Well, guns don't, like, they're really tight on gun control there. And another thing, too, that was really interesting about the bar scene is that the two quote unquote guns were the hammers that he had.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was about. I was going to bring
pockets.
That up. Is when he does that, it's all a big foreshadowing play, because in the scene before when they set up the meeting, he puts the gun on the table, showing them he has a gun, and then comes in
with two
and points it like he has a gun still.
Yeah.
And doesn't put their hammers. Anyway.
Mimi?
I agreed the 8.5. The only reason why I say that is because I do love a good gangster movie. I'm definitely here for it. I think it's just... there's so many other good movies that I'm kind of like basing it on, like,
yeah, you gotta,
yeah,
like,
yeah, you know what I mean. It's
doesn't
not that it's
measure up to this, yeah.
That's
why
I had to say 9, because it's definitely no Reservoir Dogs.
But it kind of reminds me of the pacing of like Peaky Blinders. So like,
oh yes,
it's a little slow sometimes. The pacing, you're like, where are we going with this? But it's telling a story at its own pace, which I appreciate. But sometimes you're just like, all right, let's get on to the next thing. But, you know, I love it. It's very, very good. Very, very good.
Yeah, I think I'm... Oh, gosh.
Perfect timing.
I think I'm going to go 8 out of 10. Really enjoyed it. It's a very good movie. It's not something I would go out of my way to watch, but that's also not a knock on the movie itself, because it's kind of a you've seen it movie.
Yeah.
And that's Rizzo's thoughts on it. Rizzo gave it 4 shakes out of 5.
Yes.
Solid.
John?
I think I'm going to sit with Colton on this one and give it a solid 9. I really like Green Street Hooligans, and that was kind of the standard or bar that I had set, knowing what the movie was. But overall, I mean, the action, the pacing, the motifs that were covered in the movie were fantastic. But, there's just a few scenes that just didn't really interest me, for obvious reasons. Overall, solid 9. Rewatchability.
He said the thing.
I said the thing!
For me, I'm gonna have to go with a solid, I feel very comfortable putting it at a 7 out of 10 for me. I enjoyed it. It was a good movie, and I'm glad I watched it. I probably will never watch it again. I'm also, like Tyler, not a big gangster mob person. It doesn't appeal to me at all. So going into it with that, I was like, all right, I'm strapping in. I gotta focus because I want to have things to say. But the general premise doesn't interest me that much. But the performances, the humor and the drama, the really good moments that were had, brought it from what it would have been for me, which would have been significantly lower. But just because, like, you know, it was almost one of those things where I was like, did I like it? Because it was a really good movie. And I acknowledge it was a really good movie, but am I just saying it was a good movie, or did I like it? And I still can't really decide. So I feel very comfortable putting it at a solid 7 for me. But yeah, unless y'all have anything else that you'd desperately want to say before we hop off here. Going once, going twice.
Point Break.
Are we jumping into a series, or are we finishing out the box first?
We ain't deciding that tonight. We're going to figure that out later.
Okay.
I don't know if we want to make audiences know. I do want to say, audition for Damn Yankees.
And here's Young.
And here's Young.
Also that.
And also here's Young.
Audition for Damn Yankees.
Anyway, here's you all of you.
Anyway, here's baseball.
That includes all of you in this room.
Okay. And you know what?
Tyler and Danielle, because they're not doing it for reasons.
Correct. And you know, Samuel, you're correct. We will finish out the last box pick. Do you know what it is?
There are two more box picks.
There are two more.
Yes. One is, so I guess we'll draw.
Okay.
It'll either be me or Russell's. It'll either be the Goonies or Master.
Go draw,
and
Tyler.
I'm on it.
Both. What the hell? Very good choices.
I wanted to be Master and Commander so bad. I've been waiting to watch this movie with everybody for months.
Does the box get refilled? After these last two are done, then we all refill the box.
You can get a good spin, Tyler.
I watched.
Oh, I got one.
Oh, he's bringing the box.
I made this.
He's bringing it.
It's the Banjo box.
The winner is Master and Commander.
So next up, we'll be doing Master and Commander. Samuel, are you going to request a full one?
Yes,
or one of these?
I am watching this with. We can do one of these. I just want to watch it with everybody. That's the more important thing.
So we'll be doing Master and Commander. Another quick review, just like this one.
Strap in. It is a long, slow, serious movie that is absolutely phenomenal.
But it's very, very good. It's more of Paul Bettany, who we got to see briefly in this movie.
Yeah, I love Paul Bettany.
But yes, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Mad Artist Entertainment and Twitter at @artist_mad. Visit our social media or our websites for information about how to sign up for auditions for Damn Yankees, or if you want to volunteer with us, you can look at that too. Leave a review wherever you're listening. It really helps us out, and we will see y'all next time.
Bye!